Matthew chapter 15. I pray everyone had a good vacation week this past week, had a good Christmas and time with family, had a good time with family, and then on Friday had a good time with my son. Now, I don't know if any of you have been to a trampoline park. How many of you have been to a trampoline park before? How many of you have been before? They're fun, aren't they? That's great. Well, going to bed last night, I found out I had muscles I didn't know I had. Going to bed, it's a workout. You know, I went with my son. It's like, you know, this is probably, you know, just going to bounce around a little bit. How hard could it be? Well, after about 2 hours, literally just bouncing, I sat down. Both Caleb and I sat down on the floor and we're like, we're worn out. We couldn't bounce anymore. You know, I found out we weren't Tigger. But we had a good time. And go and get some good exercise that way. So I've heard some good testimonies of time spent with family and a good time, and looking forward to this week. Enjoy your last week of school off, and then everyone heading back to school Monday next week. But Matthew chapter 15 this morning, and we're going to look at counterfeiting this morning. You know, it seems everywhere you go today that you can get something that is counterfeit. We know there's a counterfeit money, you know, that there's people that print money illegally. They counterfeit it, try to pass it off for the real thing, but inevitably they are caught because that they can't quite get the copying of the United States dollar bill, or maybe it's the 20 or the 50 or the 100. They can't seem to get it exactly to where it is authentic. There's counterfeit everything out there. You can get a counterfeit Rolex watch. You can go in Chicago, you can go to Chinatown, and you can get a Rolex watch for $10. And you get, it looks like one, and kind of feels like one, but usually they stop running after a few days or a few weeks, and then you see the paint, the gold paint starts to wear off. Instead of made out of gold, they're painted. You know, it's not legitimate. It is counterfeit. One time was buying something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was at a yard sale. Hey, it was $5. You know, when you look stuff up online and you say, man, this is something that's worth something. You can buy it for $5. You can sell it for $100 or $150. But got it home and found out, well, it's counterfeit. It wasn't exactly what it claimed to be. All kinds. You can get a counterfeit iPhone. You can get a counterfeit Samsung. You know, just because it has a name on it doesn't mean that's what's on the inside. And usually why people buy counterfeit items is because, hey, I can get something really expensive for something, or for almost nothing, for super cheap. You know, Rolex watches are thousands of dollars. Hey, if I can buy one for $10 or $20 or maybe even $50, hey, I can look like I'm rich, but I'm really not. You know that there is also counterfeit Christianity. There's counterfeit Christianity. And it's just like the devil to make a counterfeit. He has made a counterfeit gospel, has made a counterfeit Bibles, has made also people believe that they are Christians when they are really not. And this morning, we're going to look at counterfeit Christianity, and Jesus had much to say about this, and that's why we're in Matthew chapter 15, and beginning in verse number 8. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse number 8 this morning. Before we begin, am I loud enough this morning? Do I need to be a little louder? Am I good? All right, I just want to make sure with everybody. All right, Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse number 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitudes and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard the saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with an unwashing hands defileth not a man. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Dear Father, we come before you this morning, and we pray, dear Lord, that we have a relationship with you that is genuine. A genuine, intimate, and passionate relationship with you, dear Lord. That it not be counterfeit. And Lord, I pray if there's any here today that they have a counterfeit Christianity, Lord, that they would see their need of salvation. That they would see their need of calling upon you to save them. Lord, so many in churches, and I would be foolish to think here this morning that there is not at least one that falls into this category. Lord, I pray that you would bless this message. And Lord, it is a message of love and of peace with you. And I pray that we would be honest with ourselves and honest with you, dear Lord, in regards to our condition. Are we a genuine Christian? Lord, I pray that you bless our time together. Give me the words to say. Give power and instruction in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And a message entitled, Counterfeit Christianity. Counterfeit Christianity. And this morning, we see in our passage in Matthew chapter 15, we see that Jesus is referring to the Pharisees. Over and over again, Jesus had run-ins with the Pharisees. For one particular reason, the Pharisees did not believe that he was the Son of God. They did not believe that he was the Messiah, and they did not believe that they needed the salvation that God was offering through him. The Pharisees were a very prominent group. They were the religious leaders. There were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and a couple of smaller groups in the Jewish society at that time in Israel. But the Pharisees were very popular, and there was a very particular way that Pharisees lived. They lived by the Levitical law. They were very minute in how they followed that law. They followed it every single point. They would tithe off of everything. A Pharisee would have a mint plant, and they would even tithe the very leaves off of a mint plant. They were very particular, and they were very careful, and they were very strict. They had very strict doctrine. They stuck with the Old Testament law. But they had one major downfall, that they started out good. The reason the Pharisees came into being was in the 3rd century B.C., about 300 B.C., about 300 years before the time of Christ, that Alexander the Great had come through the nation and come through Palestine, and they had started to convert them over to the Greek philosophies and the Greek way of thinking and the pagan practices, and started to convert them over. Maybe you've heard of Hellenistic Jews. Those are one that have the Greek type of syncretism. And so the Pharisees came and said, no, we are going to stick with the Torah, and we are going to stick with the beliefs of the Bible, and we're going to stick with those things that are proper and appropriate. It started out as a good thing, but over time, it morphed into something. The Pharisees became proud of how they kept the law, and they began to believe that their keeping of the law was their salvation, that the law, they could be justified because of their good works. Now, Matthew chapter 15, what the context is here is that the Pharisees had condemned Jesus' disciples for eating food without first washing their hands. This is one of their traditions. Now, the Pharisees had a lot of doctrinal things, and they followed the Levitical law, but also they had a lot of traditions. A lot of traditions, one of them being eaten with unwashing hands. A lot of traditions, and they would say, well, if you break this tradition, then you are sinning. And so that's why Jesus said here, in verse number 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so counterfeit Christianity, how can we know if there is a counterfeit Christianity? Well, Jesus said we would know them by their fruits. And this morning, we're going to see some fruits that are in a counterfeit Christian. Number one this morning, number one, and you see this throughout the time the Pharisees are there. Now, some of the Pharisees, not all of them, did not believe in Jesus. We see Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, and he came and came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then others that came. But we see as a group, they condemn Jesus. And we see over and over again, we see something. The first thing that we see in a counterfeit Christian is, number one, a lack of love. A lack of love. Number one, a lack of love where? Well, first of all, a lack of love for God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Well, how do these people who claim to be followers of God, the Pharisees, and they keep the law, and one of the commandments of the law in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5 was to love the Lord. Not only to love the Lord, but with all of your heart, with all of your being. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verses 5 and 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day, now this is very important, shall be in thine heart. This was the problem with the Pharisees, is that they had a very good exterior. They kept everything outwardly, but they did not have a love for God in their heart. They were doing it to be seen of men. They were doing it so that they could be religious, but they did not have a relationship with God. And you will find something, that those who are religious, at the end of the day, they do not have a genuine love for God. They have a love for themselves. They have a love for what things they will be accounted to them, for the fame, all goes with it. Now, there are some people that genuinely love and care for God and try to work their way to heaven, but I'm talking about a very specific group of people here, that they come to church and they wear their tie and they wear their suit, they carry their Bible, and they wear their modest clothing, they wear their best, and they serve in the Sunday school class and everything, and nobody knows that inside, just as the Pharisees, that their hearts are full of dead man's bones. And I will tell you this, that in churches, wherever you go, there's always going to be somebody that's a counterfeit Christian. Some churches have more than others because their teaching engenders that more. But there's always going to be counterfeit Christians. They appear to be a Christian. By the way, everybody that says they're a Christian doesn't mean that they are. You're not a Christian because you say that you are one. You're a Christian because you have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and that you have salvation. But not only that, do you know that you can be saved and not a Christian? You can be saved. Now, some people disagree with this, but if you look at what a Christian is, it means a follower of Christ. You can be saved and not be following what Christ wants you to do. We are not always Christ-like, but as a Christian, a true disciple of Christ, we can then claim the title of a Christian. So counterfeit Christians have a lack of love for God. Oh, they make it look good, but they really don't. Look at Matthew chapter 22, what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 through 39. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. See, the Pharisees taught that everything was external. But Jesus very clearly taught them, the Pharisees taught, well, thou shalt not commit adultery. According to Exodus chapter 20, one of the Ten Commandments. But Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust after, you've already committed adultery with her already in your heart, and you are already guilty. This was a shock to the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees said, as long as what you do on the outside is okay, it doesn't matter what you think and what's in your heart. That doesn't matter. We hear that today, don't we? Hey, God doesn't care what goes on the inside as long as you do what's right on the outside. That's being a counterfeit Christian. We can dress ourselves up and we can look at ourselves and we can do all the right things, but still be unsaved on the inside. The second area that there's a lack of love, not only love for God, but there's a lack of love for believers. People who are called fellow Christians inside the church. Look at 1 John chapter 2. There's a lack of love towards those who may be your family members, also maybe some people inside the church. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 9, there is a lack of love. Now, I will say this. I'm going to say something before I continue. Now, am I saying that a person who doesn't treat someone right inside the church, they're not saved? I'm not saying that. What I am saying, that someone who has hatred and bitterness is eaten up with it, they better check something because the Bible's very clear with what I'm about to read in 1 John. That if you're ate up with hatred and you have a consistent pattern of hatred and anger and bitterness toward everybody in your life, you might not be saved. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Look here at 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 20. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 20. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And some of the most wicked and hateful and bitter things that are done sometimes that we see them happen in church. Why? Because there are counterfeit Christians. Now, can a saved person be angry and bitter and treat someone wrong? Yes, absolutely. But someone, that's all they are. They have a lack of love for God. They have a lack of love for people. You know what? The people that sit in the pew and say, well, why in the world do we bring these bus kids in here? Why in the world, you know, why do we spend the money on that? Why do we care about that? Why do we care? You know what? I wonder sometimes those people really say when they start sitting, swell themselves up and start saying that. Well, why do we go out sowing? The lost world doesn't want to hear about Jesus. Guess what? That's what the devil says. That's exactly what the devil says. Guess what? We're to go into all the world. Hey, why are we spending all this time in the Sunday schools and things? They swell themselves up and say, well, this and this and that. And you know what? That's a sign of a counterfeit Christian. You need to be careful when you start hearing things like that. I don't know why, Pastor, but such a big thing about VBS. You know how much work that is, and it's hot, and the kids don't appreciate it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, hold on. Guess what? We all know it's hot. And by the way, the kids do appreciate it. Amen. There are still some of the kids that are coming on the bus or coming still. They talked about VBS as we did 3 and 4 years ago and what they learned there. Amen. Even if someone didn't say thank you, it's okay. They'll remember it one day. Is a pastor, why do we spend so much time with the decorations? Why do we do all this, you know, grandiose things? Last year we put an ATV on the platform. And so why do we do that? Not so we can pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, look what a cool thing we did. And so the kids remember what they learned. Hey, remember when they put the big ATV on there? Remember when they did that? Oh, yeah, remember, that's where they taught us about this. That's why we do it. So they remember what they've learned. And you know what? When kids see that you did that, they feel important. That you went through all that for them. They're like, wow, they really care about me. That's important. That's being a Christian and showing love so we have an opportunity to give them the gospel. And that manifests itself like this. Look at Luke chapter 10, because a counterfeit Christian has a lack of love for the lost as well. A lack of love for God, a lack of love for the believers, and a lack of love for the lost. Luke chapter 10. To be honest, they have a lack of love toward anybody other than themselves. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more than when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that shewed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now, when the Pharisees heard this particular account, now you have to understand what Jesus is saying. He was saying, two religious people, a priest of the temple and a Levite, religious people, they followed the law of God, and the law of God said that you help somebody when they're in need, that you help somebody when your brother's fallen by the wayside, that you're to help them and have compassion on them. But guess what? They were too busy. They were too religious for that. They were too busy. They had a lack of love for a man who was beaten and bloodied and left for dead. And that's what a lot of people we encounter. They maybe not are that physically, but they're that way spiritually. That they are in need of a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And a Samaritan who was considered a half-breed by the Jewish people, who were considered ceremonially unclean. They were not allowed in the temple to worship. They were as almost worse than Gentiles. He came, of all people, came and had compassion because he really loved God. Oh, this was offensive to the Pharisees when they heard this. Just like when Jesus in Matthew 15, the disciples came to him and said, Lord, didn't you realize that you really just offended the Pharisees? Because they're the ones that teach that it's about the outward appearance. It doesn't matter about the heart. But Jesus was preaching about the heart of a person. And a counterfeit Christian, they look like a Christian on the outside. They may even talk like one. They say all the right things. But they have no heart for God. They have an unregenerate heart. Second this morning, so if we see the first attribute of a counterfeit Christian is a lack of love. Second, we see a self-righteous religion. They have no faith in Christ. Look at Romans chapter 3. We're going to look at about 4 verses very quickly here. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20. They have no faith in Christ. They trust in their goodness. They trust in how much they have done for God. Romans chapter 3, verse number 20. As though, Pastor, we don't have people like that in our independent Baptist churches, do we? Oh, yes, we do. That they grew up in church, or they have always gone to church, or they weren't always go soul winning. They always do this, or they always do that. But you don't hear a testimony, well, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Well, I've always gone to church. And that's like that in lots of churches. Well, I've always been a Christian. No one has always been a Christian. There has to be a time when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We went over that in Sunday school this morning. That no one can be saved by the law. All it is to show us our inadequacy and that we need Christ, and it brings us to Christ. Also look at Romans chapter 11, verse number 6. They have no faith in Christ. They have no faith in God's grace. Romans chapter 11, verse number 6. They have a self-righteous religion. Romans chapter 11, verse number 6 says this. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. What does that mean? Is that people say, well, I can work my way to heaven, but it's by the grace of God. We know that. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen? That's how we're saved. We're not saved by our works. We're not saved by our goodness. We're not saved by what we've done. We're not saved by religious rituals. We're not saved by our baptism. We're not saved by going to church and tithing and all of that. The Pharisees believed that's how they were saved. They were good people. I mean, only good people could do this much good, right? Oh, no, the most wicked and vile of people, they can do good things. They can put on the outward appearance, but it's what God is concerned about is the heart. Now, some people say, well, yeah, God is concerned about the heart, so he doesn't care what I do outwardly. Hold on. He cares about the outward, but it's got to begin here. It begins in the heart. It's not about, well, if I go to church and I read my Bible and I pray and I tithe, I go soul winning, I'm a Sunday school teacher, I work in the bus ministry, well, I must be saved then. I must know Jesus Christ my Savior, because a lost person wouldn't want to do those things. That's a bunch of hogwash. You know why? It's the same lie that says, well, you know, that I can't really be saved because of my past sin. We can be saved, and we can be saved from our past and saved from our sin. Well, if you're really a Christian, you wouldn't do that. That's the same lie. We can be saved, and yes, can we fall into sin? Yes, but a lost person can also do what's right. You know, you look at people. You look at different groups of people. You look at the Catholics, for instance. I mean, they live holy and righteous lives, and they help people, and they really genuinely love people. They go and they sacrifice and they give, especially some of these nuns and these priests. They do a whole lot for people. But if they're trusting in Mary and they're trusting in their good works and they're trusting in their rosary, I'm sorry, they're not going to heaven according to the Word of God. They have not put faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. But they're doing good things, though. But they're no more saved than anybody else, because they're trusting a religion instead of trusting Jesus Christ. And what counterfeit Christians do, they trust a religious system instead of Christ. Even in independent Baptist churches, they trust a religious system. Because that's man's way. Man always looking for a system instead of a belief and a trust and a faith. They have faith in keeping the rules. We learned in Isaiah 64:6 that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Man, they're very minute, and they'll have the standards. They'll have the separation from sin. I mean, they're living a holy life. And we look at them, we're like, wow, look at their family. Look at their life. And you know what? They might be genuinely saved, but look, be careful of the ones that live such a holy and have such standards, but then they use all of their time to condemn everybody else that isn't like them, that are so hateful and evil and wicked toward people who aren't like them, and they condemn them and cast them out and act just like the Pharisees that we see in the Gospels. The Pharisees were hateful. You see what they did to Jesus, because they didn't like what he was saying. They hated him. We see all through, especially through the trial, how vehement their hatred was for him. You know why? Because he condemned. He told them the truth about themselves. They also have pride in being better than other people. Look at Matthew 23 and verse 27. Well, we're better. We are more holy than they are. We are more righteous than they are. Remember, we're not saved by our own self-righteousness. We're saved by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because our righteousness is as a filthy rag, but the righteousness of Christ is how we are saved. Matthew 23:27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto man, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wow. So you can't say that Jesus wasn't a strong preacher. He was, amen? He said, well, Jesus was love. He's lovingly telling them. They said, oh, they would garnish, they built up the tombs of the prophets of Isaiah and the other prophets and said, oh, they were martyred. They were killed by our forefathers, but we who are so self-righteous, we would never have done that. Well, guess what? The prophets were killed by a self-righteous generation. The same thing was going on then, as was in Jesus' time. And that Jesus was saying, you don't understand that they preach the same things that I'm preaching because they were preaching my words. And they were killed because of it. In the same way, they killed Jesus because he preached the truth and told them the truth about themselves. You know, when you go soul winning, you tell someone the truth about themselves, it doesn't always go well. Amen? When we're talking about that in Sunday school, about showing the reality of sin. Or that say, well, I do my good works, and you tell them, well, the Bible says good works do not save. You cannot go to heaven by good work. They say, they take a step back, and they look at you, they narrow their eyes. How dare you say that to me? Do you know how much I've given to the church? Do you know how many mission trips I've been on? Do you know how many things I've done for the poor? Do you know that I've done all this and that? How dare you say that to me? God will let me into heaven because of all. How dare you say that to me? And they get all swelled up. They get angry. They say, well, that's what the Bible says. I don't care what the Bible says. That's not what I believe. And you know what? And you wonder why church splits happen sometimes. Because people get all swelled up with pride. Sometimes they're saved, sometimes they're not. How dare the preacher preach on that? That's what I do. How dare he do that? Well, we're just going to get rid of him. Just like they got rid of Jesus. It's the message of Christ. They lack love. They have a self-righteous religion. And third, they have a lack of salvation. Now, it's true that all true Christians can be hypocritical at times. We all can be. Every person can be hypocritical. I'm not talking about that. What we're talking about today is someone who has never really trusted Christ. Churches are full of people who trust their religion instead of trusting Christ. They trust what they have always done. They trust that they've always gone to church, that they've always read their Bible, that they've always been in church, but they've never come to Jesus for true and genuine salvation. Why? Because due to their religion, they do not believe that they are sinners. Let me say that again. Because of their religion, they are so self-righteous. I am not a sinner because I've done all this good. I've made some mistakes, but my good outweighs my bad. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, I've fallen short sometimes, but I've done a lot of good to make up for that. I've done a lot of good. Their religion will not save them. Their soul winning will not save them. So, Pastor, let me get this straight. So, Pastor, are you saying that lost people go out on soul winning and see people get saved? Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. There's been many people who have grown up in church. There are Sunday school teachers, pastors, pastors' wives, evangelists. There was an evangelist, I don't know if it was Brother Petrell shared it or somebody did, that there was an evangelist on the third day of his own revival. He got saved. He had been preaching revivals for 3 and 4 years. Because he realized he was a fake and a counterfeit. People, unfortunately, are taught to think, well, if I do these things, well, I must be saved. Amen. We tell people we got to be very careful in our discipleship of people. Hey, will you come to church? Well, then you're being a good Christian. Hey, if you come and go to soul winning, hey, you're being a good Christian. And people begin to think, when you begin saying that, and it is true, we are to obey the commands of Christ. We got to be careful. If they've never truly been saved, then you begin to tell them, well, I must be a Christian if I'm doing these things, but they are not true in their heart. And then what happens is man's pride begins to swell up. Well, I do all these good things. Well, I'm really good. I mean, I'm doing everything the Bible is saying. I'm doing everything the pastor's preaching, and I'm following it, and I'm a pretty important person, and begin to swell up pride. Now, I understand everybody can swell up with pride. I'm talking about people, they've never been saved, and then they begin to have a religious system formed that they trust in instead of Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, this is just as much a lie as believing that your past sins and mistakes cast into doubt the saving power of Jesus Christ. It's the same lie, just reversed. Well, if I do good, then I must be saved. It's not of works. If you're trusting your own goodness and works to be saved, then you need to repent of the sin of self-righteousness and turn to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. What you need to do. No one is good enough to get to heaven. I don't care how long you work, how many good deeds you've done. It doesn't matter. How many times you get baptized, you can get baptized 10, 6, 12, 15, 35, 60 times. Doesn't matter, won't get you to heaven. Some people believe that. Well, they get baptized, and some people believe, you know, there's nothing wrong, I don't think, with getting baptized. Some people get baptized in River Jordan over in Israel. So, you know, I got baptized once, but God is going to bless me in a special way if I get baptized in the River Jordan, and then I'm going to have a special blessing, and then I can go to heaven. Sorry. It's just a dirty river, just like anywhere else in the world. Now, some people get baptized to identify with Christ. That's fine. But there's no special blessing in it. There's no special salvation in it. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. When he said, "It is finished" on the cross, the payment for sin was complete. It is complete, it is effectual, and it will take all sin away. There is no need of anything else but the blood of Jesus Christ. A question, and I plead with you, don't go to the flames of hell because you are too proud to admit you are a counterfeit Christian. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. People will get to the end of their life. Let's say, well, I've always done all, I guess I must be saved. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They had the outside works. The Pharisees were hung up on something. They were hung up in that Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands. And Jesus even told them something. It's not the food that you eat that makes you unclean. It's because you didn't obey what I said from the heart. Think about that. The Jewish people were commanded to have dietary restrictions. And when they ate something, it wasn't because they ate that thing. It was because they had not obeyed what God had said. It was sin. It was disobedience. Now, does God have the dietary restrictions for us today? No. But Jesus was saying, it's the heart. You say you love me, but your heart's not there. Your heart is far away. Your heart is in your own pursuits. Your heart is in your own way. Your heart is in your religion. It's not with me. Verse 23, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me. That's a fearful thing. If you're not sure that you're saved this morning, are you really going to gamble and say, well, maybe I'm saved, maybe I'm not, but I'll just wait until I stand before the gates of heaven. I'll just wait till then, and I'm sure Jesus will take into account all that I've done. I'm sure that he will take into account all the preaching I've heard. Oh, yes, he will, but not in the way that you think. He'll take it into account. So you had the opportunity to be saved, and are you going to wait till then to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. You know if you're saved or not. You know if you know Christ or not. You know if you're a counterfeit Christian or not. So my heart is not with God. I just do it because that's why I do what people want me to do. You know what's happening to a lot of our teenagers today? Most of them growing up in independent Baptist churches are counterfeits. That's why when they get to be 18, they go to college and stop going to church because they're never Christian to begin with. Because they saw the hypocrisy of mom and dad, or they saw this, or they latched onto something. Well, everybody is a hypocrite. Guess what? There's hypocrites everywhere. There's hypocrite Catholics. There's hypocrite atheists. By the way, if you're using, well, everyone, there's hypocrites everywhere is your crutch, it doesn't work. There's hypocrites everywhere. There's hypocrite atheists that pray every once in a while. There's hypocrites everywhere. There's counterfeit people everywhere. Guess what? Get used to it. You live in a lost world. But you use that as your excuse. Well, I'm not going to serve God because church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. That's not an excuse. It's not. It's sad. Amen. It's a sad thing. It's a disappointing thing. But young people, don't go through, well, I'm just going to bide my time. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm just going to make it look good. But in my heart, I don't want to do it, and I hate what I do and everything. Guess what? Don't be like me. That's what I did. Teenage years, oh, I looked the part. I was the star kid in the youth group, man. Everyone said, oh, why can't you be like him? Always hated that. My parents don't do that to your kids. I always hated when other parents did that to me. You know, I always wore the suit, and I wasn't the one running around getting in trouble and doing all the things, but guess what? I was just like them. I just didn't show it on the outside. I went through college, and I was just like all the others, the rebels that did their hair like all the little faux hawk and did their little thing and had their long hair, and they were always breaking the rules and everything like that. And I would say, oh, how dare they do that? I always follow the rules. I have 2 demerits. How dare they do that? Oh, these people are so wicked for doing this. But in my heart, I wanted to be just like them. But they had actually the guts to be really who they really were. And I didn't. I just wanted to fit in and go with, I wanted people to think good of me. I want to have a positive reaction from people. I want people to think, oh, look at him, just a clean-cut, wonderful young man. But I didn't mean it. I didn't want it. And then when I got to be near the end of my years in college, you know, I knew that what was expected of me, the restrictions were going to be off, you know, and I didn't want to, and I began to have these thoughts. Well, I don't want to be a missionary. I don't really want to serve God. I really don't even want to go to church. I just want to go do my own thing. Don't want any of it. Now, up here, I knew that was wrong because I knew the Bible. But what was here is what scared me. It's like, where does this come from? And so at that time, I was courting a beautiful young lady named Amy. No. Named Bethany. I never dated anyone named Amy. I'm just letting you know, okay? Named Bethany. Well, there was no, no. But named Bethany Harvey. And if you know my wife, she's a straight shooter. And so she knew something was bothering me for about a couple of weeks, and she, you know, we had been in a relationship for a little bit, and I just, I remember I was on the phone. I was on my phone, and she was on my cell phone, and I was sitting. I remember where I was sitting. I was sitting in the behind Ballard Hall in my car, ready to go out and get some at Walmart, and I was just irritated, and I was just frustrated, and I was just down, and he said, what's wrong? And I just blurted out, and I went on and on and on and on and on for a long time. And she had a pause at the end of the phone. I could tell there were tears in her eyes, and she goes, Robert, you're not saved. A saved person wouldn't talk like that. I was offended. I was greatly offended. I said, how dare she say that? Does she not know all the things that I have done? All the missions? I've been on 3 missions trips, man. I've been on 3 missions trips. I'm a respected person in the ministerial class. And, you know, don't you know what the grades of my Bible classes are? This is what I was thinking. Doesn't sound like a Christian, does it? I was self-righteous. I was religious. I knew in my heart, and you know why it offended me? Because I knew she was right. About a week followed, and I've told the story many times over, you know the rest, and that I eventually had to come to an end of myself, and I repented before the Lord of my sin and my self-righteousness and my own goodness and trusted Christ as my Savior. And that's what made all the difference. All then my heart wanted to do all the things. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to love Him. I wanted to worship Him. I wanted to serve Him with my life. Genuinely, as well, was it not genuine before? Yes, it was, but it wasn't for the right reason. Because, hey, I saw missionary, I saw evangelist, I saw pastor. Wow, people think a lot of them. I want people to think a lot of me. So I'll do that. And unfortunately, you know what? That's the way a lot of people are called into the ministry today. A lot of teenagers go to college and they go through all that because, you know, they, mom and dad look at them and sit them down. We would be so proud of you if you did this. I mean, you would bring such honor to our family if you did this, and you would. But they don't do it because they love God. They didn't do it because they were called. They do it because mom and dad told them to do it. It's called mommy called and daddy sent. But, teenager, are you a genuine Christian? Are you genuine, or are you just biding time until you can get out from underneath it all? Are you just biding time? Adult, young person, doesn't matter who you are you just like, well, yeah, I'm okay. I'll just wait till this passes. I'm convicted right now, but it'll pass. Unfortunately, it will. And then you've hardened yourself against the gospel. You harden yourself again and again and again. But you can be saved today. So this morning, are you a genuine Christian or a counterfeit? The Holy Spirit, just as they take that pen, when you give them a 20 or a 50 or a 100, and they put that stroke across that dollar bill, that $20, 50 or 100, and it turns a certain color and says, hey, this is genuine. The Holy Spirit of God is going around with his counterfeit detection marker this morning. And he's putting it across your heart to see if it's genuine or not. What's it going to say? What's he telling you right now? If you genuinely want to know what God thinks, he'll tell you. He said, I need to be saved